on the patent of a drug to help fight osteoporosis, a bone condition. Valerio helped found and is part of the International Center for Professional Development, a US-based organization that helps minority women, especially Africans, to forge careers in science and engineering. She says having young women and girls in science, technology, engineering, and math, or STEM, helps close the gender parity gap and introduces diversity to the field.
When you look at science and the process of solving problems in the STEM fields, you realize that the more minds that you have working towards solving a problem, the more that there is a chance of having breakthrough. And so we need the perspective of women in the scientific fields. We need them to be also uplifted in these fields and given the opportunity to contribute meaningfully.
It remains to be seen whether Valerio's notable achievements and commitment to help improve the lives of others will help her land the country's highest job. Reporting for VOA from Bulawayo, I am Kuzanai Msengi.
The prison sentences for two defendants who were convicted in Kenya's Garissa University terror attacks have been lowered by a court. VOA Ahmed Hussein reports from the Kenyan capital, Nairobi.
High Court Justice Cecilia Gidhoa has acquitted Hassan Edin Hassan and Mohamed Abdi Abikar of the crime of being members of the Al-Shabaab militant group, but she upheld the convictions of conspiracy to commit a terrorist act. The action lowers their prison sentences from 14 years to 25 and a half years. Nairobi-based security analyst Richard Tuya says the ruling is a blow in the fight against terrorism.
The ruling, I think, it is making terrorism in this country to become an attractive business, because terrorists are rational thinkers, whereby they do a cost-benefit analysis of their action. But now if the punishment is less than the cost, then it is an advantage to them.
In 2019, a lower court had sentenced the duo to 25 and a half years for conspiracy to commission and commit a terrorist act and 15 and a half years for being members of the Al-Shabaab. On Friday, while overturning the sentence of being members of the Al-Shabaab, the judge said the prosecution did not present evidence to prove the two terror convicts were members of the militia group. Tuya says the ruling disregards the families of the 148 victims, however, who were killed in the 2015 attacks at Garissa University.
To me, I feel like it is a mockery. But now you can't blame the courts, because also the court relies on evidence that has been brought before it.
While sentencing the two convicts to 25 and a half years in prison, the judge upheld the circumstantial evidence presented by the prosecution, saying it left no doubt that the two were aware of the attack plan and they were the actual perpetrators of the attack. In 2015, four gunmen stormed Garissa University and started to shoot randomly, killing 148 people. The Somali-based militia group Al-Shabaab later said it was motivated to carry out the attack against Kenya because that country sent its troops to Somalia. Ahmed Hussein for VOA News, Nairobi, Kenya.
Cameroon and Gabon have stepped up border security after neighboring Equatorial Guinea confirmed a spreading Marburg virus has killed at least 9 people. Despite the controls, people are still traveling across the porous borders, raising fears the virus that causes hemorrhagic fever could spread. For VOA Moki, Edwin Kenzeka reports from Cameroon on the border with Gabon and Equatorial Guinea.
Scores of children sing at the government's primary school in Kiosi that regular hand washing protects people from diseases. Kiosi is a town on Cameroon's southern border with Gabon and Equatorial Guinea. Mirai Ivan is the head teacher of the school. Ivan says more than 15 children from Equatorial Guinea attended classes in Kiosi on Friday. She says all the children were separated from their Cameroonian peers and obliged to wash their hands before attending classes. Ivan said Cameroon's public health ministry officials informed her that movement across the border was restricted because of an outbreak of the Marburg virus in Equatorial Guinea. She said it is not her duty to stop children from attending classes. Cameroon's ministries of basic and secondary education say that several hundred children cross every day from Kientem, an administrative unit in Equatorial Guinea, to study in Kiosi alongside scores of children from Gabon. Also, several hundred merchants cross borders to Gabon, Equatorial Guinea and Cameroon each day to conduct business, according to CEMAC, a regional economic bloc. Authorities in Equatorial Guinea say the Marburg outbreak has killed 9 people, but the World Health Organization says the death toll may be as high as 20. Cameroon's public health ministry said Friday that it had held discussions with health officials in Gabon and Equatorial Guinea on ways to stop or reduce the spread of the disease. Félix Ngelengele is the governor of Cameroon's south region where Kiosi is located. He says surveillance and travel restrictions have been reinforced along the borders.
What we can assure the population is that the surveillance system has been activated. Health staff are mobilized and even the administrative authorities at the border are equally mobilized to monitor that disease. We want to thank the World Health Organization and the Red Cross that have joined us to see to it that the disease should not cross the border and enter our country.
However, Ngeli said the porous borders make it difficult for Cameroon and Equatorial Guinea police to fully control the movement of people. On February 14, Cameroon's health ministry reported 2 suspected cases of Marburg virus in the country after a first deadly attack in neighboring Equatorial Guinea. Gabon's state broadcaster RTG on Friday reported that after the second Marburg outbreak in Equatorial Guinea in less than 2 months, the government of Gabon reinforced its contingency plan of zero contamination of Marburg virus disease. RTG reported Libreville has also dispatched a team of technicians to identify an isolation area for possible suspected cases in border areas. Cameroon and Gabon say civilians should avoid contact with animals and people who have traveled to Equatorial Guinea and make sure people with fever, fatigue and blood-stained vomit and diarrhea are isolated. The WHO says Marburg is transmitted to people from fruit bats, spreads among people through bodily fluids, and has a fatality rate of up to 88%. Moki Edwin Kinzuka for VOA News, Kiosi, Southern Cameroon.
Stay engaged with VOA Africa. You can call us 24/7 on WhatsApp and leave a message, comments, or greetings. Dial the international code +1, then 202-258-3076. The number again is the international code +1, then 202-258-3076.
This is the Voice of America, and you are listening to Nightline Africa. I'm your host, Peter Clote, in Washington. Coming up in the second half of Nightline Africa Sports with Samson O'Malley, and that will be followed by a commentary by Dr. James Jonah, former UN Under Secretary General for Political Affairs and Music from African Collection. But first, it's now time for Nightline Africa Sports, and for that, let's join Samson O'Malley. Hello, Samson.
Hi, Peter. Good evening, sports fans. Welcome to Nightline Africa Sports. The third round of qualifying matches for the 2023 Africa Cup of Nations was concluded on Friday as the road towards Cote d'Ivoire begins to shape up. After back-to-back wins and South Africa's draw against Liberia, Morocco is the only country to have so far qualified for the biennial showpiece as the top group K with 6 points. With Zimbabwe having been knocked out of the qualifiers, the group only has 3 teams. Guinea-Bissau produced the biggest victory in the third round of the matches, shocking Nigeria's Super Eagles 1-0 in Abuja. The victory took the Jitters to 7 points, one ahead of the Super Eagles, and they can confirm their place in the tournament if they complete a double over Nigeria this coming week. Defending champions Senegal showed their might with a 5-1 thrashing of Mozambique, picking their third consecutive victory and one that puts them on the brink of qualification. Tunisia's Carthage Eagles remained unbeaten after 3 matches, the 3-0 victory over Libya taking them to 7 points. Mali is another team on a 100% record after their 2-0 win over Gambia, which takes them to 9 points in Group C. Algeria earned their third straight win and kept their unbeaten record intact to remain top of Group F on 9 points. They beat Niger 2-1 at home and will travel to Niamey for the return leg this week, needing just a point to qualify. In tennis news, world number 5 Tunisian Hans Jabeur was eliminated in the second round of the Miami Open ATP 1000 after losing to world number 54 Russia's Varvara Garacheva 2-6 2-6 on Friday. Hans Jabeur was exempted from the first round while Russia's Varvara qualified for that second round over world's number 78 Belgian Mariana Zanavesca. And out of boxing, where Pearl Dlamini, the first African woman to serve on the board of the International Boxing Association, is advocating for the increase in prize money for female boxers. Dlamini, who has been president of the Swaziland Boxing Association for the last 9 years, says increase in prize money for women boxers will translate to huge benefits for the women and their families, especially in Africa.
If you look at the case of Elaine from Mozambique, whose story was shared to all of us today, she has been able to sort of like build her family from the funds that she gets from the prize money. So IPA somehow is improving lives and touching lives directly. Because some of these women boxers here, they are actually not benefiting alone, but the entire families are benefiting from the process of this prize money. So please, prize money everywhere, even in the local federation championships.
In netball, Kenya, Malawi and Zambia are set to make their debut at the Pacific Oz Sports Netball Series as part of the 8 teams competing at the Gold Coast. And that's all for this week's edition of Nightline Africa Sports. Back to you, Peter.
Thanks a lot, Samson. It's always a pleasure to hear from you. We'll link up with you again next Sunday for another look at African sports. Nightline Africa Sports.
Would you like to be famous? Calling us on WhatsApp may gain you fame if we play your message on the radio. You can call us 24/7 on WhatsApp and leave a message. Dial the international code +1, then 202-258-3076. Here's that number again. Dial the international code +1, then 202-258-3076.
Now let's take a closer look at Africa, the problems, the prospects in time of conflict, in time of peace. Here's one man's point of view with Dr. James Jonah, former UN Under Secretary General for Political Affairs. Hello, Dr. Jonah.
Good evening, Africa. Recently, the ICC issued an arrest warrant for President Putin and another senior Russian officials on the allegation that committed crimes against children who were allegedly abducted from Ukraine to Russia. President Putin quickly treated it as frivolous on the grounds that Russia is not a member of the ICC and that he would ignore it. However, it was predicted that the warrant of arrest against him would complicate his travel plans and other conferences. At that time, no one knew that the ball would be in the African's court. Now, this refers specifically to South Africa. South Africa is a member of the economic group called BRICS, which is Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. And South African president should be the next rotating chairman for BRICS when there will be a summit in the host country of the chairman. There are important decisions to be taken at that summit, including dealing with the requests for membership by a number of countries, including some African countries. It is clear that this presents a serious problem for South Africa. And last week, the foreign minister of South Africa announced that the South African cabinet would have to deal with the issue before responding to the situation. It is important that Africans understand that the African Union and Africa itself have had troubled relations with the ICC. Even though the African state as a group were the most enthusiastic for the creation of the ICC and quickly ratified the Rome Treaty, while other members of the United Nations were refusing to ratify them, they soon became a little worried. The relationship soured with the ICC because there was the impression that the ICC was inordinately targeting African states, particularly African heads of state. The South African government has three options. One option would be if President Putin himself decided that he would not attend, but to send a high-level delegation led by the Prime Minister Medvedev to the conference, and may be supplemented by video address to the summit meeting. The second will be if the government of South Africa would make an appeal to the ICC that owing to the importance of the BRICS summit, that the arrest warrant be suspended for Putin while he's attending there. If that fails, then they might try to use the al-Bashir method. But this would cause great problems inside South Africa. Without doubt, the Democratic Alliance will make a noise about it and may even take the government to court. So this will be coming an issue in the next coming weeks. The ad info, the info war on this issue will intensify. That is why it is worth paying attention to this situation. I thank you.
That was 1 month's point of view, a commentary by Dr. James Jonah, former UN Undersecretary General for Political Affairs. It's Sunday on Nightline Africa, and this is the time we get to relax and reflect, a flashback with music from the continent.
In the city around me, yeah. Make time for what's around me, yeah. Take a 3-2-6 for the G, yeah. Just back to my little sucker, white Z, white kid. Take pride in my beautiful melody, yeah. Make time for my African brethren, yeah. Whether you're my choma or papa,
the good one,
I'm a quality to make it in my family.
Brothers and sisters, yeah, no matter where you are, with it, Almost 11 o'clock.
Just for me. Kiss me in the cheeks, sing out for me. Oh, close company. Energy feel no punch on me. This luxury. R&B DJ somebody. Oh, the mommy's on a ego. T-shirt and white glove. Abu Dhabi food. For me, two girls, not enough for me. Three girls, not enough for me. Not enough for me. Not enough for me. Four girls, not enough for me. Five girls, not enough for me. Six girls, not enough for me. Not enough for me. Nah, nah. I pull up in a Tonka truck. You either get bust around or bust up. What's in the briefcase? The rents are dollars. So be a cheap date to fuck the models. Lace in the sack and I'm blaming the net. Let's do the money dance, one die for a fade. Keep it in the fam and cut my cuss. The pillows in the air, stop this moisture. Never get defense to block the solar. Hustle Mary Jane, that's where my eyes are. Yeah. Los Angeles. Give me more ambience. BBC what? Mark. It's international motion. Let me do my dance. Let me count my bands. I'm thinking of a master plan. Reprogram, reset. Stay focused, revenge. Until then, put on that. Just trust in me. I built you a masterpiece. This world not enough for me. Kiss me in the cheeks, sing my family. Company, energy feels no punch on me. This luxury, R&B DJ somebody say. Oh, the mommy's on a ego. T-shirt on white glove. Abu Dhabi food.
Sunday Music Spot. Hope you enjoy the music from Nightline Africa here at the English service of the Voice of America in Washington. Hope you enjoy the program tonight. As you know by now, we are on air on Saturdays and Sundays at 16 and 18 hours UTC. From the Nightline Africa team, including producer Mike Hove, we say thanks for joining us. And remember, as the elders say, the big fish is caught with big bait. I'm your host, Peter Clotte in Washington. Good evening, Africa.